Translation and purport, Pious Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. There may be discrepancies in pronouncing the mantras and observing the regulative principles. And moreover, there may be discrepancies in regard to time, place, person, and paraphernalia. But when your Lordship's holy name is chanted, everything becomes faultless. Purport. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has recommended Harinama, Harinama, Harinama Eva Kevalam, Kalau Nascheva, 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 Katir Anyata. In this age of quarrel and hypocrisy, the only means of deliverance is chanting the holy name of the Lord. There is no other way, there is no other way, there is no other way. Brihan Naradiya Purana 38:126. In this age of Kali, it is extremely difficult to perform Vedic ritualistic ceremonies or sacrifices perfectly. Hardly anyone can chant the Vedic mantras with perfect pronunciation or accumulate the paraphernalia for Vedic performances. Therefore, the sacrifice recommended in this age is Sankirtan, constant chanting of the holy name of the Lord. Yogyai Sankirtanai Priya Yajantihi Samedashaha. Srimad Bhagavatam 11:529. Instead of wasting time performing Vedic sacrifices, those who are intelligent, those who possess good brain substance, should take to the chanting of the Lord's holy name and thus perform sacrifice perfectly. I have seen that many religious leaders are addicted to performing yogyas and spending hundreds and thousands of rupees for imperfect sacrificial performances. This is a lesson for those who unnecessarily execute such imperfect sacrifices. We should take the advice of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Yogyai Sankirtana Priya Yajantihi Samedashaha. Although Shukracharya was a strict Brahmin addicted to ritualistic activities, he also admitted Nishchidram Anusankirtanam Tava. My Lord, constant chanting of the holy name of your Lordship makes everything perfect. In Kali Yuga, the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies cannot be performed as perfectly as before. Therefore, Srila Jiva Goswami has recommended that although one should take care to follow all the principles in every kind of spiritual activity, especially in the worship of the deity, there is still a chance of discrepancies, and one should compensate for this by chanting the holy name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In our Krishna consciousness movement, we therefore give special stress to the chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahan Mantra in all activities. Om Gyana Timanandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurum Milatam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangam Langayate Gurim Yat Kripa Tamaham Bande Shri Gurum Dinataranam Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yenibhutale Swayam Rupa Gadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shiva Sari Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. There may be discrepancies in pronouncing the mantras and observing the regulative principles, and moreover, there may be discrepancies in regard to time, place, person, and paraphernalia. But when your Lordship's holy name is chanted, everything becomes faultless. So, on doing a little preparation for this class today, I discovered that there's about 9 chapters altogether in this particular canto describing the pastimes of Bali Maharaj. So, you're already some way in to the pastimes of Bali Maharaj, several chapters. So, I'm sure you're all very familiar. But just to give a little background to this verse, because Srila Prabhupada would often quote that, repetition is the mother of remembrance. So sometimes we need to hear things again and again and again. So Shukracharya, he'd cursed Bali Maharaj, his disciple. He said that you shall very soon be bereft of all of your possessions. So why did Shukracharya curse Bali Maharaj? Because he disobeyed his order. And what was the order? Shukracharya, he told Bali Maharaj, do not give charity to this Brahmin boy, to this little brahmachari, because actually he is Lord Vishnu himself and he will take everything away. One of the names for Krishna, of course, is that he is Hari. He is one who takes everything away. Just before I joined the temple, then I was I was really inspired that I wanted to become a devotee, but at the same time, I was still very much attached to my material life. I'm still very much attached to my material life. But at that time, I was really wanting to become a devotee. So I was reading one night while I was at university through the teachings of Queen Kunti, and I read one very inspiring statement by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada said that for one who wants to become a devotee of Krishna, but at the same time is still attached to material life, Krishna, as Lord Hari, takes away one's material life, so one is forced to become a devotee. And somehow or another, we're here, Krishna removed everything. So Krishna is Hari, one who takes everything away. So Shukracharya, he was warning Bali Maharaj, do not give everything, do not give charity to Bali Maharaj, to Vamandev, because he is Vishnu, he will take everything away. But Bali Maharaj, as we know, he did disobey the orders of his spiritual master. So we understand that actually to follow the instructions of the spiritual master is the supreme goal of life. Srila Prabhupada, he would often credit his success. He would say, if I have any success, it is that I simply try to follow the orders of my spiritual master. That is all. Yasya prasadat bhagavat prasado, yasya prasadat nagati katopi. By the mercy of the spiritual master, one receives the benediction of Krishna. Without the grace of the spiritual master, one cannot make any advancement. And Srila Prabhupada, he said that the most important verse in all of the Vedas, does anyone know what Srila Prabhupada said was? Yasya devi parabhakti yata devi tatayagaro tasyaiti katati yata prakashanti mahatmana. Only unto those who have implicit faith in both the Lord and the spiritual master are all the imports of Vedic knowledge automatically revealed. Srila Prabhupada said this is the most important verse to become one with the instruction of the spiritual master. But here's Bali Maharaj, one of the Mahajans, one of the 12 authorities in devotional service, disobeying the order of his spiritual master. What are we supposed to learn from this? Well, actually, Srila Prabhupada describes that the guru's duty, we often hear about the disciple's duty, but the guru's duty is to take the disciple back home, back to Godhead. So Bali Maharaj, he considered that actually his guru had deviated from his duty because he understood that Vishnu should be pleased in all circumstances, and he was telling him to disobey or to displease Vishnu. So therefore, Bali Maharaj, he took the risk of being cursed by his spiritual master to please Vishnu. And Srila Prabhupada actually explains that Shukracharya was inspired from the Lord within the heart to curse Bali Maharaj. And in fact, because of that curse, Bali Maharaj, he did lose everything, and he was arrested, and he was tied up by the snake, the ropes of Varuna. And it's described that Bali Maharaj, when he was arrested and he was tied up by the ropes of Varuna, the snake, actually he was suffocating. If you ever see a snake wrap around itself, not that I've ever seen it, but I've heard they can wrap very, very tight, and you're choking, you're suffocating. So he'd just given everything away to the Lord, and then the Lord arrests him, ties him up, and he's virtually suffocating to death. So you could say, well, why did Krishna inspire Shukracharya to curse his disciples so that he was going to suffer? We see that oftentimes devotees of Krishna, they suffer. The Pandavas, they suffered immensely. Prahlad Maharaj, he suffered immensely, or apparently it seems that they suffered. But actually, Srila Prabhupada describes that the main reason that Krishna inspired Shukracharya to curse his disciple and therefore Bali Maharaj to suffer was that actually Krishna wanted to advertise the glories of Bali Maharaj. He wanted to show how glorious his devotee is, that even though he's in such a suffering condition, still his mind is fixed firmly at the lotus feet of Krishna. So this was Krishna's real purpose, was to glorify his devotee. For his, Srila Prabhupada says, his super excellent tolerance and devotion. And it's described that when Bali Maharaj was arrested and he was in the ropes of Varuna, he was remembering the determination of his grandfather, Prahlad Maharaj. And therefore, when he remembered the determination of Prahlad Maharaj, he became inspired, and then he offered the final step of the Lord to be placed on his head. He gave his head in charity. So this firm determination, this single-pointed determination, is described by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, vivasyatmika buddhiya ekiha karinandana bahushaka yanantascha buddhiyo vavasayanam. One has to be single-pointed, one has to be resolute in purpose. And Srila Prabhupada actually explained that when he read the translation and the commentary to this particular verse, 241, particularly Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary, then Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he described that the instruction of the spiritual master should be the life and soul of the disciple. And Srila Prabhupada said that that was the verse that inspired him to dedicate his life to follow that instruction, and therefore he came to the West, and here we are all sitting here today. So this determination we have to develop in devotional service, that no matter what happens, we have to be fixed on the instructions of the spiritual master, fixed on the instructions of Srila Prabhupada, fixed on pleasing the previous acharyas. So this is one of the lessons we can learn from Bali Maharaj and Prahlad Maharaj and Srila Prabhupada. So now we come to today's verse. So at this point, Bali Maharaj, he's gone down to Sutala, one of the hellish planets. But there, Lord Vamanadeva was going to act as his doorman, and he was going to receive great opulence, greater than the King of Heaven. And Prahlad Maharaj, he's just glorified the Lord, and he's also gone down to Sutala. And now Shukracharya is there, and he's speaking with Vamanadeva, and he was glorifying Vamanadeva. And then Vamanadeva, he asks Shukracharya, while your disciple was performing this sacrifice, what was his fault? Why did you curse him? Why did you curse him? What was his fault? Because actually Bali Maharaj, he lost everything, but the point was that actually he pleased the Lord by his strong faith in devotional service. So therefore, because all sacrifices are meant ultimately to please Vishnu, to please Krishna, Vishnu is the Yogya Purush, he's the enjoyer of all sacrifices, Yogya Vai Vishnu. Therefore, because he'd pleased Lord Vishnu, he'd pleased Krishna, therefore the sacrifice was perfect and there was no discrepancy. And therefore Shukracharya, he admitted, actually, I shouldn't have cursed him. Actually, it was a mistake to curse him because he was actually faultless. So the first point Srila Prabhupada makes here in the purport, he quotes this famous verse that every devotee should know. Harinama, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kalau Nascheva, 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 Gatir Anyata. Probably the first verse we learn is actually the Maha Prashadi Govinde Nama Brahmanive. At least if we don't know the Prashadam prayer, well, everyone should know the Prashadam prayer. Sometimes it's amazing, actually. You go to some places and some devotees don't learn the Prashadam prayer. I know, but at least we should learn the Prashadam prayer. But this is a very important verse that everyone learns. That in this iron age of quarrel and hypocrisy, there is no other way, no other way, no other way, but to chant the holy names, chant the holy names, chant the holy names. When Lord Chaitanya was initiated first by his spiritual master, he was told, you are fool number one. Srila Prabhupada says that we should become fool number one in front of our spiritual master. So he said, you are fool number one. You are not qualified to study the Vedanta Sutra. You should just chant Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, at all times. And he gave him this verse, he quoted this verse. So Srila Prabhupada is explaining here in the purport that in this age that we're living in, Vedic sacrifices cannot be performed. Why is that? We're also performing sacrifices here in the temple when we have initiations and weddings and... So we're also performing sacrifices, but it's not the main activity of this age. So Srila Prabhupada says the reason we cannot perform Vedic sacrifices in this age is because of we cannot pronounce the mantras properly. Sometimes we can't even chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra properly. We're struggling. Some devotees, they chant. I remember one devotee, he couldn't pronounce his R's. He pronounced them as W's. It was Hari Wama, Hari Wama, Wama Wama, Hari Hari, Hari Krishna, Hari Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari, Hari Wama, Hari Wama, Wama Wama. But still, Krishna's accepting because that's, you know, that's his offering to the Lord. But we cannot pronounce the mantras properly. In the Vedic times, they would perform the Ashwamedha sacrifice. They would sacrifice a horse. They would bring a cow and they would sacrifice it into the fire. But because of the power of the Vedic mantras, they would bring those animals back to life. Srila Prabhupada says that this was the proof of the potency of the Vedic mantras, and they had four different priests. One was reciting the mantras, the other one was like a referee, oh, Prabhu, you missed this here, you know, and they, oh, okay, and he chants it again. And also, not only can we not pronounce the mantras properly, but we cannot accumulate sufficient wealth to be able to perform the sacrifice. When Maharaj Yudhisthira performed the Rajasuya sacrifice, he sent his brothers to the four corners of the earth. He sent Arjuna to accumulate so much wealth, and therefore Arjuna is called Dhananjaya, conqueror of wealth. And everything they used in the sacrifice was made of pure gold. Nowadays, we're just, you know, we're using, like, if we're lucky, maybe stainless steel, or, you know, sometimes just wood. And they would not only perform the sacrifice with gold, then they would throw all that gold away afterwards. They were so wealthy. And in fact, it's described that all of that paraphernalia for the Rajasuya sacrifice is somewhere around, I think, in some mountain somewhere Srila Prabhupada describes. You can go and try and find if we have any treasure hunters in the audience, any orienteers. I'm good with the compass. You can go and try and find this wealth. So we cannot pronounce the mantras properly, and we cannot accumulate sufficient wealth. So therefore, the sacrifice for this age is the Sankirtan Yogya. Krishnavanam tuisa krishnam sango pankastrapashadam yogya sankirtana priya yujantihi sumedishaha. That's just to prove that we cannot pronounce the mantras properly. My imperfect pronunciation. So therefore, the sacrifice for this age is the constant chanting of the holy names of the Lord. It says, in the age of Kali, intelligent persons worship the incarnation of Godhead who constantly sings the names of Krishna. Although he is not blackish, he is Krishna himself. He is accompanied by his servants, his associates, his confidential companions, and his weapons. It's interesting. Srila Prabhupada says intelligent persons, but sometimes Srila Prabhupada says one who has sufficient brain substance. It's like nowadays we have to be politically correct. We can't say that someone is fat. You have to say they are horizontally challenged. Someone is not tall, they are, no, someone's not short, they are vertically challenged. So you don't say someone is an idiot, you say you do not have sufficient brain substance. Or Srila Prabhupada, he was sometimes described, they have but a poor fund of knowledge. So one who has sufficient brain substance, one who's intelligent, takes to the worshipping Lord Chaitanya, who's constantly singing the names of Krishna. And how do we worship Lord Chaitanya? By constantly chanting, constantly, incessantly chanting the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So Srila Prabhupada says, instead of wasting time and money for performing imperfect sacrifices, which people are conducting, Srila Prabhupada says, I have seen many religious leaders are doing this, we should spend all our time and our energy and all our money on constantly chanting the holy names of Krishna. Because the point is, just like the yogic Brahmins in the Krishna book or in the 10th canto, we understand the pastime, Krishna and Balaram, they were feeling hungry. They wanted to have some food, like young boys there playing so much, tending the cows. So they got very hungry, so they sent their friends away. There are some Brahmins performing some sacrifices nearby. Go to them and ask them for some charity. Go and beg alms. Go and get us some food. We're hungry. So then, of course, the boys went and they said, Krishna and Balaram are very nearby and they're very hungry. And they said, these Brahmins, they were very puffed up. They said, go away. We're just about to perform a very important sacrifice here. Get out of here. They chased them away. And interestingly, they went back and they were very upset. They were very morose. And they went back and they complained to Krishna, oh, Krishna, they didn't give us anything. And interestingly, Krishna said, do not worry. He said, begging is like this. He said, sometimes you will be happy and sometimes you will be disappointed. Sometimes you will be turned away and sometimes you will be successful. He said, do not worry. This is the way of begging. So this is nice. I often think about this when we go out on Sankirtan, distributing books. It is like that. We're begging. Please take this book. Please give a contribution. Please chant Gauranga. And sometimes they say, they give you some other mantras. They give you some four-letter mantras. But it's okay. Krishna says, don't worry. Sometimes begging is like this. But then Krishna said, anyway, go back again. And this time approach the wives of the Brahmins. They are my devotees and they're very pure-hearted and they will give you something. So then the wives of the Brahmins, they were very, yeah, they gave, yes, please, yes, certainly, take this. They gave them everything. So much prasadam. So the point was that the wives of the Brahmins, they weren't very learned in Vedic knowledge. They weren't expert in performing sacrifices. But the point was, they understood the essence of all sacrifice, which is to please Krishna. And therefore the Brahmins, they later on said, oh, actually, our wives, they are, they have taught us this lesson, that we should actually try and remember Krishna. This is the essence of all sacrifice. And the point is, because one of Krishna's names is that he's Bhava Grahi Janardana, which means that Krishna takes the essence of one's devotional mentality. So there may be some faults in performing our service, there may be some discrepancies, but Srila Prabhupada says, but if one is serious and sincere, then Krishna will accept that service. Just like the illiterate Brahmin, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was touring South India, he came across the illiterate Brahmin, and he was reading Bhagavad Gita, he had it upside down, and you know, he didn't know how to read, but he was crying, and everyone was making fun of him. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, well, why are you crying? And he said, well, I, you know, my spiritual master, he has asked me to read the Bhagavad Gita, but I do not know how to read, but because he has given me this order, therefore I am reading. And he said, well, if you can't understand it, why are you crying? And he said, because whenever I think of Krishna, how he has become the servant of his devotee, how he is Bhakta Vatsala, he has become the charioteer of his devotee. He says, whenever I think of this, my heart swells up, my eyes fill with tears, and I cry. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he embraced him and he said, yes, you have actually understood Bhagavad Gita. So the point is, what is our mentality? What is our mood? What is our purpose? What is our meditation? And Krishna is actually looking for this, not so much the activity, not so much, you know, what it looks like externally, but what is the mood? So he's Bhava Grahi Janardana. And even the devotee is like this as well. Srila Prabhupada, in the early days of the Hare Krishna movement in the San Francisco temple, California, the devotees, it was during the hippie time, and particularly, you know, Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda ki, Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki, Shri Shri Gauranitai ki. Particularly in San Francisco, they were even more in the hippie mood than in New York. In New York, they were a little bit more conservative. So the devotees, they had this storefront temple, and one day the devotees had taken it upon themselves to decorate the temple, you know, without the knowledge of Swamiji. They wanted to surprise Swamiji. So they brought all kinds of decorations in there. They had a totem pole, you know, like the Native American Indians, they have these big totem poles. So they put a big totem pole next to the altar, and they'd put a picture of Jesus Christ on the wall, because they thought, well, this is, you know, he's a spiritual personality. And when Srila Prabhupada came in, do you know what he said? What is this totem pole doing here? Get it out of it. What is Jesus Christ? No, he said, oh, very nice. He said, Lord Jesus Christ is looking very nice here on the wall. So he took the essence. He took their devotional mentality. He saw, oh, they're just trying to please me. They're doing the best they can. Just like a child in the beginning, you don't expect a child, you know, if a child starts trying to walk and then it falls down, you don't say, you're useless. What are you doing? You're never going to walk. No, you encourage the child. So Srila Prabhupada, he was encouraging his disciples. Krishna's encouraging us. Yes, whatever you can do. In the beginning, when I first started offering my food to Krishna, I just had one little picture of Krishna in the Higher Taste book. And then the first thing I ever made was a jacket potato in the microwave with some salad. And I had it, put it on a plate, and it was the very same plate that I ate off. And I said, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. My dear Lord Krishna, please accept this simple offering. And I can tell you, Krishna definitely accepted that offering. Not because I'm so... And actually, I had more devotion back then than I do now. And I remember when I had the Hare Krishna book of vegetarian cooking by Adi Rajpuru, and it said you should cook with your own ghee. You should make your own ghee. So that was the first thing I ever made, was ghee. It took me about 4 hours. And after the time I'd cooked the ghee, I didn't have time to cook anything else. So I made this jacket potato. But in the book, it said that when you're taking prasadam, you should eat with a devotional mood. You know, you should light some incense, play a little bhajan, you know, in meditation. And you should save half the room in your stomach for prasadam. And you should have a quarter for liquid and a quarter for air. And eat in a very... So I did. I put on nice bhajan, Srila Prabhupada chanting, and I lit some incense. So I was sitting there in my room in my student house. The whole house was a pigsty. It used to take me 45 minutes to clean the kitchen before I could even start cooking. If anyone's ever lived in a student house, you know what I mean. And then I would go upstairs to my room and it was very tranquil. And then you had to save a quarter of the air in your stomach, room in your stomach for air. So I would take a bite of prasadam and then I would take a few deep breaths, get my air in. And I had so much more devotion for taking prasadam then than I do now. Nowadays, it's just, okay, let's get out there on Sankirtan or whatever it is. So Krishna, he accepts the devotional mood. This is the point. And the pronunciation, in fact, Tamil Krishna Maharaj, he describes that when Srila Prabhupada first gave them the Gayatri mantra, he gave it to Tamil Krishna Maharaj and Jayananda Prabhu. And Tamil Krishna Maharaj, he describes that Jayananda Prabhu, his pronunciation was terrible. It was really, really bad. And he just kept saying to Tamil Krishna, he said, Maharaj, he said, I just cannot pronounce this. And they said, well, okay, let's go to Srila Prabhupada and let's ask him if we're pronouncing properly. So they went, and Jayananda Prabhu, he chanted the Gayatri mantra in front of Srila Prabhupada, and Srila Prabhupada just leaned back in his chair and he just started laughing. Like one time Srila Prabhupada performed one preaching program here in London at Conway Hall. Is it Conway Hall? And at one point Srila Prabhupada became ecstatic and he started chanting Narada Muni Bhajai Vina. And at the end, the devotees asked Srila Prabhupada, at one point in the kirtan, you became so ecstatic and you started glorifying Narad Muni. What happened? And Srila Prabhupada said, oh, at one point in the kirtan, Narad Muni came. And the devotees said, really? Narad Muni came? What was he doing? Srila Prabhupada said, oh, he was laughing to see the Westerners chant Hare Krishna, attempting to chant Hare Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada started laughing at Jayananda Prabhu, trying to chant the Gayatri mantra. And Jayananda Prabhu became very sad and very morose. His face fell. And he said, Srila Prabhupada, it is hopeless. It is hopeless. He said, you Westerners will never be able to chant properly. And Jayananda Prabhu, he became very upset. But he said to Jayananda Prabhu, and Tamil Krishna Maharaj recollects, he said to Jayananda Prabhu, he said, but you are so sincere that Krishna will accept your chanting. So we have to become sincere. Doesn't mean that we shouldn't try and pronounce properly, because it's also a sign of devotion to try and learn it properly. But the point is, even if we cannot chant properly, or even if there's some fault, if we're sincere, Krishna will accept. And Krishna will especially accept when the chanting of the holy name is added. When Srila Prabhupada installed the deities of Krishna Balaram in Vrindavan, he had many yogic priests, many local pandits and brahmas to come and perform the sacrifice. But at the same time, he had his American and European, his Western and American boys and girls, as he would describe them, his disciples, his devotees, chanting the Maha Mantra, having kirtan. And afterwards, Srila Prabhupada explained, he said, actually, the real installation of the deities was the Sankirtan that was taking place by my devotees. He said, but because people here, they would not accept these Westerners chanting Hare Krishna. Therefore, I had to employ some local Brahmins and some priests to satisfy everyone else. But interestingly, Srila Prabhupada said the real installation was the chanting of the Maha Mantra. So, Jiva Goswami, Srila Prabhupada explains here that Jiva Goswami says that one should take care to follow all the principles in every kind of spiritual activity, especially deity worship. So the point is, there are many rules and regulations. In fact, there's two paths in devotional service. There's Bhagavat Vidhi and there's the Pancharatrika Vidhi. And they're described as two paths, two parallel tracks, like a train track. And that for the path of devotional service, we have to have both of these tracks running simultaneously. But Srila Prabhupada describes that of the two paths, because the Pancharatrika Vidhi is, you know, deity worship, performing all the rules and regulations, and the Bhagavad Gita is Sankirtan, chanting Hare Krishna, reading and hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. So Srila Prabhupada says that of the two, the Bhagavad Gita is more important. Sankirtan is more important. So Jiva Goswami, he says that still there may be discrepancies even while trying to perform all the rules and regulations. So therefore, one should compensate for all of those faults with chanting Hare Krishna. When I first read this, I always remember that. So whenever I have the opportunity, not that I do it so often, I'm not so much of a pujari, but whenever I get the opportunity to offer aarti to the deities, I usually sing. I chant Hare Krishna. And I usually think, well, probably my chanting is better than... Because you know what it's like when you're offering aarti, you're thinking, how many circles have I done now? Have I done two? Have I done three? And by the end of it, you're kind of all confused and you get the mantras wrong. So we should compensate for all of our faults with constant chanting of the holy names. It's said that chanting of the holy names counteracts all faults. Kale dosha nadeya raja nastyeko mahangana kirtana deva krishna sya bhukta sangha param vajet. This age of Kali is an ocean of inauspicious qualities. Can you imagine what it's like in the ocean? If you're just dropped off somewhere in the ocean, even if you're a good swimmer. When I was younger, I used to swim. I pride myself as being a good swimmer. I still go swimming sometimes. Actually, I just joined a gym recently. And I'm now swimming once again. I got told off one time for swimming in the local pool in Lark, in Hamilton. One of the ladies, she said I was terrorizing the pool. Because I was swimming up and down. She was trying to do wits. You know what old ladies are like in the swimming pool? They're just kind of yapping and, you know, gossiping. And I was trying to swim. So she said, you're just terrorizing the pool. I got a bit, actually, it was a good sign of my tolerance. I wasn't very tolerant at all. I tried to be polite. I said, actually, I was trying to be conscientious that I wasn't swimming into anyone. She said, oh, no, you're not, you know. Anyway. So even if you're a good swimmer, I had to bite my tongue. I realized I'm still not very humble or tolerant here. That's why I can't chant the holy names properly. No tolerance and no humility. Krishna had sent that old lady to me that day to show me you still have some work to do. So even if you're a good swimmer, if you're dropped off in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean or the Pacific Ocean, doesn't matter how good, you're just surrounded by water. Nothing but water. Water, water, all around, and not a drop to drink, they say. So Kali Yuga is an ocean of inauspicious qualities. Wherever you look, there is bad things going on. Illicit sex, gambling, meat eating, intoxication. Everything, wherever you look. But there is one good quality in this age. Just like there is one special thing that you can find within the ocean. I asked one time, one devotee, I was giving a class, and I asked him, what is that special thing that you're looking for? What is that treasure that you're looking for when you're in the ocean? And he said, a helicopter. And I said, a helicopter? He said, yeah, if you're in the ocean, you know, you want a helicopter to come and save you. I was like, okay. But actually the treasure is a pearl. Down at the bottom of the ocean, you have in the clams or the oysters, you have the pearl. So the one good quality in this age is that simply by chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, then one can overcome all of these bad qualities, and one can go back home, back to Godhead. This is our saving grace, constant chanting of the holy name. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada says at the end of the purport, in our Krishna consciousness movement, we therefore give special stress to the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra in all activities. In Vaisheshika Prabhu's temple in ISKCON, Silicon Valley, they have one motto. Actually, he has many mottos. ABS, always better service. If anyone's met Vaisheshguru, he's like really dynamic and everything. He's just got like a little catchy phrase or a motto. ABS, always better service. Or GNAB, that's a good news action broadcast. People always want to complain and give some bad news, you know. In the newspaper, you don't find good news generally. There was one newspaper they've released. It's called The Good News. And I think it's been discontinued because no one was buying it. People want to hear bad news. So he says, no, we should have GNAB. We have a good news action broadcast, something that really positive that's happened that day. So he has another one, which is keep the vibration flowing. Or keep the vibration going, I can never remember. One of those. means the same thing. So what does that mean? He means there shouldn't ever be a time when we're not chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, or chanting some verse. My Guru Maharaj, he says that whenever he had the opportunity to be with Srila Prabhupada was always chanting, Hare Nam, Hare Nam, Hare Nam, Hare Kulam, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Chanting some Brahma Samhita prayer, always chanting. So therefore we became inspired by this, keep the vibration flowing. So we were trying to chant like this. And last year, at the annual UK Brahmachari retreat, some of us were here just before the Ratha Yatra. And we were coming, we were having extra classes and like this. And then one day Sutapa said, okay, today we're going to do some service. And I was thinking, I didn't come here to do any service. I came here to have a holiday. And so, you know, have nice prasadam, ecstatic kirtans, have some inspiring. I didn't sign up for this, doing some service. So he says, no, we're all going to go into the kitchen and we're going to help prepare the Ratha Yatra feast. So I surrendered. I thought, okay, let's go into the kitchen. And we had to cut lemons to prepare the lemon juice for Parashuram to offer to Lord Jagannath. So we got in there. There was a few of us to start with, as with the other devotees from Scotland. And I said, okay, let's have a kirtan. You know, let's like, what is that, the seven dwarfs. Whistle while you work. So we should chant while we work. So we started having a kirtan. And it was just gentle to start with. We took it in turns, you know. And then after some time, another devotee came in, another brahmachari came into the kitchen, and he joined the kirtan. And then someone else came in, and then he joined the kirtan. And then we started playing we started getting the spoons. Shamananda Puri started playing the kartals with the spoons, and he was doing this amazing shuffling with the spoons. And then Sundanitai, he was playing the madanga on the big sink. Boom, 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 boom. And by the end of it, there was like about 20 of us in there, jumping up and down, literally cutting and squeezing these lemons, chanting in ecstasy. And every time someone came in, they became caught up in the mood, and it just became ecstatic. So just like when they were cleaning the Gundicha temple, it became famous, the Gundicha Marjanam. So Shamananda Prabhu, he coined these kirtans, the Jif Lemon kirtans, you know. And for myself, they'll go down in history as one of the most ecstatic times I've ever had in devotional service. It was just amazing, amazing. Someone even filmed it. And then there was one devotee, one of the Bhaktas, I'm not sure what his name was. He was doing this really weird sound. He had one of this like square aluminium, stainless steel kind of tubs, and he was spinning the spoon round. What was that devotee? Anyway, we shouldn't probably see who he was. He was doing this, he became so excited, he was spinning the spoon round, and anyway, it was amazing. And I was always thinking, why? I should always remember to chant Hare Krishna. Then devotional services, Susukam Katam Avyam, when you add the holy name. So we should keep the vibration flowing. Whatever we're doing, add the chanting of the holy name. Srila Prabhupada said 16 rounds on the beads and unlimited chanting off the beads. One time Srila Prabhupada imitated one of the devotees and he pulled down the 16th bead and he said, now I have done my 16 rounds, now I can do any damn thing I like. So Srila Prabhupada, he was saying, no, actually, we should be always chanting Hare Krishna. This is our problem, actually, is that we forget to chant. We sometimes think chanting is just like something we do in the morning. And then, you know, we don't chant throughout the day. Sometimes we're driving in the car, you know, Hare Krishna, Hare, on the way to Sankirtan, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. And then suddenly there's a near miss. You're about to have a car crash. And then everyone goes, and then, you know, the danger's averted. We didn't crash. And then everyone starts again. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. The moment when you're supposed to chant the most, when you might leave your body, you're going to go to Loka. That's where we're going to go. So we have to practice chanting all the time. And when you're out on Sankirtan, if you're not chanting, then you're in trouble. Because you're in the lion's den. You're immediately going to be captured by Maya. And you end up going to W.H. Smith's or wherever it is, you know. So you have to be constantly chanting. We should remember at all times to constantly, incessantly chant the Maha Mantra. And one interesting thing, actually, that Srila Prabhupada, in one purport in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada doesn't say that Sankirtan means constant chanting. He says Sankirtan is propagation of the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. Not only chanting, but propagating the chanting, spreading the holy name of the Lord. This is Sankirtan, because Sankirtan means complete glorification of the holy name of the Lord. So complete glorification means we want everyone to chant Hare Krishna. Krishna is so glorious, we don't just want to chant ourselves. We don't want to just have kirtan. It's nice having kirtan in the temple. This morning, Govindapuru led a very nice kirtan. It was ecstatic. No one would disagree. But actually, we want to bring more and more people to the kirtan. If this is the age of congregational chanting, how are we going to have a congregation if we don't go out and bring people back to the temple? Like they said, if people, when they started the Radha Damodar traveling party, Tamal Krishna Maharaj and Vishnujan Swami, they said to Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, people are not coming to the temple, therefore we are taking the temple to them. And Srila Prabhupada said, yes, this is the correct understanding. This is the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We have to take the chanting to the people. We shouldn't just have kirtan here in the temple. It's nice, but the main thing is take that chanting out. In fact, Devamrita Swami, he says that our japa inspires our kirtan, and our kirtan inspires our sankirtan. And then it works the other way. He said our sankirtan inspires our kirtan, and our kirtan inspires our japa. And Vishnujan Swami, he said, if one doesn't have a taste, we know he was one of the first famous kirtaneers and still is one of the most famous kirtaneers in ISKCON. He said, kirtan up, kirtan down, kirtan, kirtan, all around. He was chanting all day long. Srila Prabhupada said that when I hear Vishnujan chanting, he said, I feel like I am walking in Vaikuntha. So Vishnujan Swami, he said, if one doesn't have a taste for japa, he says, one should have more kirtan. More kirtan. So like this, everything should inspire us. So therefore, not only should we chant constantly, but we should also get other people to chant constantly. And then in this way, we will become fully satisfied. Chant Hare Krishna and be happy. So, I think time has just about come to an end, so I better stop there. Srila Prabhupada ki, Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Are there any questions or comments? Is there time, or should we just stop there? Yeah, if there's any questions or comments, any GNABs, any good news action broadcasts,